You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
I'm excited for this one, man.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I think the Heat's a deeper team than these Los Angeles Lakers.
The Los Angeles Lakers take game one of these NBA Finals.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. Earlier on the show, NFL Films senior producer Greg Cosell. Still to come, author of the new book, Three Ring Circus, Jeff Perlman. Plus, host of ESPN's The Jump, Rachel Nichols. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Welcome to hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show. We're about to get Jeff Perlman on the line. He's the author of the new book, Three Ring Circus, Kobe, Shaq, Phil, and the Crazy Years of the Lakers Dynasty. ESPN in the last couple minutes has popped out a quote from Kyrie.
Oh, man, have you seen this?
What's the Et Cetera's podcast? I'm not fully aware, but...
I don't know, but... This quote is
with Durant. I'll just read it for you. This is the first time in my career I can look down and be like, that mother effer can make that shot too, in terms of deferring late in games. Is he inferring that?
He's not comfortable deferring
to LeBron.
He's saying it. No, he's saying that he's the only one on every team that he's been on that could take a late game shot and know that it's going in.
Wow. I guess I don't quite know how to respond to that. I thought he and LeBron were cool. I thought he and LeBron had kind of, you know, made up after breaking up, then they made up, right? I mean, did he just lose himself in talking up his teammate and his excitement of playing with Durant? I mean, he's got to know. I mean, if there's anybody on the planet who knows that his statements are going to get picked apart, that he'll be parsed, every syllable will be parsed. It's got to be Kyrie Irving, right? Wow. Yeah. By the way, that's what Jay Williams retweeted, said, wow. Okay, so there's that. That'll be a nice, fun conversation for everyone. I will mention it to Rachel Nichols because I'm sure in the bubble right now, you know, TJ Jefferson, your grease board that's at your feet says Lakers in blank, question mark. I mean, that's basically the only way to pass the time right now in the bubble based off of game one, right?
Well, in my group chat, they've already put four.
I mean, so, there, hey, so, LeBron, did you hear what Kyrie had to say? That's coming up in a Zoom near you, I imagine.
Jeez.
844-204-RICH. If you're on hold, stay on hold. Once we get in our chat with Jeff Perlman as well as Rachel Nichols, it's all about you. So let's turn to the phone lines right now. He's been on the show in person before, rocking some great USFL gear about one of his previous books on the subject of the USFL. His latest tome is called Three Ring Circus, Kobe, Shaq, Phil, and the Crazy Years of the Lakers Dynasty. Pleased to have Jeff Perlman here on the show. How are you, Jeffrey?
I was thinking when I heard you talking about Kyrie, I was trying to think, who's the equivalent from my boyhood of Kyrie Irving? And the name I kept coming to was Orlando Woolridge, which is your team gets Orlando Woolridge, and you're like, man, we are set. We got Orlando Woolridge.
Right.
And then about 2 weeks in, you're like, eh, maybe we can get a second and a and a bench player for him.
Well, did Orlando Woolridge ever claim the earth was flat as well? I mean, like, you know, I want to like Kyrie Irving a lot. My kids love him, you know, and this is just, it's just weird. It's like he can't stick to a narrative almost.
It's bad, Jeff. when you're a lifelong Nets fan, and I grew up loving the Nets, and you're thinking, where's the sanity of Derek Coleman when we need it?
Well put, as you only can. All right, so let's get into your book here, Three Ring Circus, Kobe, Shaq, Phil, and the Crazy Years of the Lakers Dynasty. What did you glean that you didn't know going in, Jeff?
I mean, I think the thing I didn't realize, the thing that really caught me was the 03-04 season, which is the last season they were together, which right. I just found to be one of the most fascinating seasons in any team's ever gone through, if you look at it. Malone and Payton join the team. They have this quote-unquote super team. They're going to dominate the league. But Shaq reports out of shape. The whole year he's miserable because he wants a contract extension. Jerry Buss won't go near it. Phil Jackson doesn't know whether he's coming or going. He's tired of coaching Kobe Bryant. Kobe is planning on leaving for the Clippers and is pretty steadfast that at the end of this year he's going to sign with the Clippers. Meanwhile, he's flying in and out of Eagle, Colorado, facing a potential of 20 years in prison. And he's mad at the Lakers because of the quality of the plane they have him flying. The whole season is just a mess. They make the NBA Finals against Detroit, and they lose in five games. And Kobe, they have a team party after game five, and Kobe goes up to Kareem Rush. And Kareem Rush thinks everything's great. They're going to come back the next year, and Kobe says, there's no way I'm playing with that mother effer again. And he's referring to Shaq. And just the whole year, it's amazing they made the NBA Finals. It's one of the most fascinating single seasons of just train wreck after train wreck in the history of, at least my history of writing about sports.
Well, I mean, you know, you could make the case that, you know, your book and the era of that we're discussing is, what would you say, the sequel to The Last Dance, in a way, right? I mean, that Phil, we just saw what Phil did with Chicago and all the craziness there, and we saw a 10-part documentary on that, and now here he is moving to Los Angeles with... one would clearly say the heir to Air Jordan and Kobe with Shaq, and you just basically described that. I mean, Phil, it's amazing any of his teams with everything that was going on, despite the remarkable talent, was able to pull it off. I guess would he be the through line in that, Jeff?
Yeah, I think so. I also it's really interesting. People say, you know, they always get the, well, he had so much talent, he had to win, blah blah blah. The thing about Chicago, the pecking order was always really clear. Like, Pippen was never trying to be Jordan. It was not part of the plan. It wasn't like Pippen was plotting, you know, I should be getting more touches. I'm Jordan. I'm better at this guy. In L.A., I mean, from the very beginning, Kobe, and this is kind of what made him great and brought a lot of his greatness, is he was, I'm better. I should be the number one guy. I should be the number one guy. And when you're a coach, when Phil Jackson showed up in L.A., in 99, and he made it very clear, we're going to run this offense, the triangle. Here's Tex Winter. He's the brainchild behind it. It's got to go through Shaq. It's going to go through Shaq. And Kobe, you're the number two guy. And Kobe was such a brilliant talent that ended up, they won back-to-back-to-backs, but he never really fully bought into this idea that I'm the number two and he's the number one. And I just think that Phil was able to get so much out of that team with that level of sort of dysfunction. It's pretty freaking amazing, actually.
It's pretty freaking amazing is one way to put it. And so we all know that there was a coming together between Kobe and Shaq later in life. And with Kobe's life getting cut short, we know it was about a year or two before all of that they did get together. Does that surprise you based on you digging so deep into a time where so many feelings and emotions were raw, Jeff?
Yeah, I would say no, because I just think, I thought about this a lot. The book was done before Kobe died, and I was just thinking, like, who you are at 25, who any of us are at 25, is not who we are when we're, in his case, 41. And the same goes for Shaq. And I actually think, I've been thinking about it a lot. When you think about Kobe, you think about Shaq. When you think about Shaq, you think about Kobe. And, you know, like, Hall and Oates, they don't get along well together. They don't go out together. They don't travel together. They don't frequent together. They show up at their show. They play their show and they leave. But they still have that bond, that eternal bond. And I feel like Shaq and Kobe, there's just an eternal bond. And when Kobe died, for Shaq, it was just losing this person who you are attached to and who you did so much with. And he's never going to be your best friend, but you have this history with him that's really, really profound. And I think you saw that just hit him and overwhelm him when he learned of Kobe's death, just that they had this shared bond that was really rocky and really turbulent, but produced some amazing memories for a lot of people.
Three Ring Circus is Jeff Perlman's latest book about the Kobe, Shaq, Phil, crazy years of the Lakers dynasty. And so you've written about this dynasty. You've written about the Cowboys dynasty, the Boys Will Be Boys, the glory days and party nights of the Cowboys dynasty. You've written about Showtime. So you've also written about the USFL, Barry Bonds. Jeff, what have you learned about team chemistry? What can you say about the concept of locker rooms in total disarray, but talent wins through, in other spots where, you know, you've written about the Mets too, where talent is great, but it just can't get through locker room disarray and chemistry. What have you learned about chemistry throughout all of your years of reporting, Jeff?
I just think it's overrated. I really do. I do. I think it's there was a great book by Joan Ryan earlier this year about the importance of team chemistry, and it was great, and it was a great read. And I just don't see it. I just think at the end of the day, this was not a team with great chemistry, but they had two of the five best players on the court always, you know, and they had these role players who fit their slot really well. And it's not like everyone was going out to dinner after games. It's not like they were all buddy-buddy. I mean, Shaq and Kobe, they were not friends at all. They were teammates and coworkers, but they were so good. And if you don't have good team chemistry, but you have a really good leader who can sort of task focus you, I didn't say five words to each other in the course of a season unless it was FU, but they were really good. So I just think at the end of the day, ultimately, if you're really, really good and you have a decent coach keeping things in order, a Dusty Baker or Phil Jackson or Davey Johnson or Jimmy Johnson, your odds of success are good even if you don't get along that well.
So then how do you explain the Clippers of this year then, Jeff? Right? I mean,
I'm not saying it's a fail-proof situation.
You know what I mean? Because, again, Paul George's statement after it's all over saying that, you know, they just didn't spend enough time together, even though they were just quarantined for 6 to 8 weeks in a way that he, in very meaningful and moving language, talking about the depression of the bubble, that they hadn't spent enough time together. And they have Kawhi and they have Paul George and they've got 2 sixth men of the year and a coach who's won it all before and they don't even get to the conference finals, right? I mean, like, he was kind of blaming team chemistry in a way.
Yeah, I do think I'm not just using it as an excuse to defend my argument. I do think the weirdness of the bubble and COVID and everything throws a little X factor in that's hard to measure. And I also think Denver was a really good team. Like, I do think in the midst of all that, people sort of forgot that Denver was really good.
Right.
Like, really good. And it's sort of like everyone was looking, especially out here in Southern California, everyone's looking for the excuses and, well, how could they let this happen? Maybe Denver was just better to a certain degree. I mean, they were really, really good. And I just think being in this bubble and being in this world right now is a really depressing place to be. And maybe, I mean, I guess in some circumstances, team chemistry is important if you're all living through hell.
What reaction, a few more minutes left with Jeff Perlman here on the Rich Eisen Show. Three Ring Circus is his latest book, Kobe, Shaq, Phil, and the Crazy Years of the Laker Dynasty. What's been the reaction from the Kobe lovers out there about you covering a part of his life that I think they would like to forget? What's been that?
So I was braced. I was braced for it to be really, really bad. And my cousin read the book a few weeks ago, and he said, man, this is going to be rough. I've gotten 3 negative tweets. And while those 3 negative tweets, all from anonymous people, were quite wounding, overall, I feel like because people knew who Kobe was, like when I wrote a Walter Payton biography, and the backlash initially was really fierce. But in Chicago, Walter Payton was just strictly deified. And I do feel like Eagle Colorado, for example, everyone saw that happen. Everyone watched it happen, you know, the court case and everything going on. Even his difficulty with Shaq, that's not a secret. People knew that he could be ornery and difficult and rough as a young player. So I just feel like the main reaction I've gotten, I'm not making this up, I really swear, like the main reaction has been, you know, you wrote it honestly, it's not surprising, but you were fair. So that's kind of all you can hope for.
Okay, and when it's all said and done, do you think we're going to write about LeBron in the same way of being a Laker great when it's all said and done, Jeff?
Not in the same way. Do you think so?
No, I just think that, you know, we're going to, I think we're 3 more games away from seeing him get one. I don't think Anthony Davis is going anywhere. I think that they've got a general manager who definitely got the pieces right this non-playing season. I think the coach getting the win here is going to earn Frank Vogel more respect. I think that when fans are let back into Staples, it's going to be must-see stuff. I think that LeBron is not done after this year by any stretch of the imagination. And I think that he's going to have banners, plural, up in that Staples Center. And that's the thing that I don't think he'll ever be, you know, obviously the same level of Kobe. But we will be talking about Showtime era and this era that you've written about and maybe right now. I do think so. Jeff?
I could see. I think LeBron will go down in Laker history in the way Wilt Chamberlain does, where you sort of think of him as another team first. But he goes down. I mean, he'll obviously win more than Wilt did with Lakers. But he'll go down as a very special player. He'll have his number retired. But I do think at the end of the day, Kobe's a Laker. Even Shaq is really a Laker. And I think LeBron, you think, is a Cleveland guy who had some really great years in L.A.
What's next for you? What do you want to? What are you curious about, Jeff? What else?
I'm doing a Bo Jackson biography.
Okay.
Now we're talking, Jeff.
Okay. Are you talking to Bo? Are you in contact with him?
I talked to him once for a half hour. He has not been the most cooperative, but he's been very nice. So he's a very guarded human being. He's okay. A really nice guy, but very guarded.
Well, so what are you looking at? What are you curious about? What are you curious about?
I just think the mythology of that guy is ridiculous. And I've interviewed about 250, 300 people so far, and you just get over and over again, I'm going to tell you something and you're not going to believe it. Like, you hear that all the time. I'm going to tell you something and you're not going to believe it, but I swear to God, it's true. I'm going to tell you, he hit a home run that went 700 feet. I know you don't believe me. It's true. He was standing. I was with Bo. He was standing in a pool and he jumped flat footed, waist deep out of the pool. I know you're not going to believe me, but it's true. Like, over and over again. And I freaking loved the book. Wouldn't be nearly as interesting if he played 12 years in the NFL and was Marcus Allen, or played 15 years in Major League Baseball and became Kirk Gibson. Like, the mythology is the thing there.
Have you spoken to Dion about him yet?
No, not yet.
Oh, you have to. Because you want to talk about the eras, right, of baseball and football and being able to do remarkable things on either field and at the same time. You know, sports stars. I mean, Dion, I know that Dion doesn't have the same mythology in baseball as Bo Jackson did, but Dion could have been the World Series MVP had the Braves beaten the Blue Jays in the year that the Blue Jays won. Just look those figures up. And then in terms of being able to do spectacular things on a football field, as well as know the guy, and be able to speak about the difficulty of doing these things at once at the same time with everybody staring at you and having promotional campaigns built around you, I think he'd be an excellent interview for you, Jeff.
Oh, I agree. There's also an amazing video of Bo's senior year at Auburn and Dion coming in to make the tackle and Bo just tossing him aside. I thought, just room.
Well, that's not Dion's forte. I mean, of all the things that we're talking about, Dion's mythology, I don't think tackling has ever been one of them. But watch, Jackson City will be the best tackling team in all of college football because he's getting ready to bring all that. Hey, Jeff, congrats on the book. Let's keep chatting. This was great as expected. You take care of yourself.
All right, thanks, Richard. I appreciate it.
That's Jeff Perlman, at Jeff Perlman on Twitter. Three Ring Circus, Kobe, Shaq, Phil, and the crazy years of the Lakers dynasty.
Wow.
Susie's several hundred pages into it because, I mean, she covered this team too, and she's reliving a lot of moments. And,
I'm excited to read this.
Yeah, and she's giving it the thumbs up. So
it's funny, all of Jeff's books just hit on teams that were so interesting but had that element of back guano insane to them, you know, like the Cowboys and the Mets and Barry Bonds and now this Laker team. Excited.
What if I interviewed 250 to 300 people about your playing career, Chris? Would there be things like, hey, that time when, like, what's the one time the mythology of your playing?
My Syracuse pickup career specifically?
Yeah,
I never missed.
What about high school football? What about that?
High school football, I was super average, but I did have a few like flash moments.
Okay.
I did throw three picks in the playoff game and we lost.
Very Cutler-esque.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Did you act like you didn't care too?
No, actually, I left my helmet on the whole bus ride back. It was like an hour bus ride home. I was pretty broken up about it.
Oh, good. Well, that's appropriate.
Yeah. I mean, I was 17. It's fine.
Understood.
I'm over it.
Oh, Cutler did it at age 27.
Yeah.
844.
I guess I need to get some minicabs.
Oh, but third hour, you got to tell that Devin Hester story that apparently he's told.
God,
what?
All
right, Rachel Nichols will join us from the bubble. We'll talk about the here and now when we come back in 2 minutes. Visa knows that local businesses are the heartbeat of our communities. Whether they're our corner stores, our coffee spots, or our favorite shops, local businesses have always been there for us. They remember our orders. They call us by name. Always giving back, making a difference, and going that extra mile to support us and our community. And right now, more than ever, local businesses need our support. So now it's time for us to return the favor. The next time you go shopping, make the choice to shop at a local business and look for the contactless symbol and tap to pay with a contactless Visa to help support your community. Because where and how you shop really does matter. Visa, everywhere you want to be. The official partner of the NFL.
Sports keep coming back. So does your chance to bet on them with our exclusive wagering partner, BetOnline. Major League Baseball is now in full swing and the NBA has also begun. There's no shortage of ways to get in on the action. BetOnline has all the odds, futures, and props for you to bet on. Visit BetOnline today to check out all the odds and up-to-date sports news. Don't forget to sign up and take advantage of all the Welcome Back to Sports bonuses. BetOnline, your online wagering experts. Visit our good friends and exclusive partner at Podcast One. BetOnline to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and make sure to use that promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. Visit betonline.ag and don't forget that promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
If you are on hold, stay on hold. I promise we will get to your phone calls. Literally, we're wide open. We're wide open. We're just going to have some chit-chat. Chris Brockman's news update. Carlos Correa has chimed in about the Astros advancing. He flexed. I think he flexed.
You know what? I kind of like it.
You do?
I kind of do.
Okay, great. I think we'll chop that up, as the kids would say. Do the kids say that? Again, I'm a 51-year-old man. Do the kids say chop it up?
Oh, not just the kids.
Who says it?
I say it.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, but you guys are close in age, though.
So. Are we really? How old are you, TJ?
I'm up there, bro.
By the way, I want that on a T-shirt.
I'm up there, bro.
I'm up there, bro. That might be TJ's first drop.
I'm still the old man in the building, though.
You're the double nickel, right? You're Willie McGinnis.
I'm as old as a Super Bowl, so you'll never forget, Rich. 54.
Okay.
Super Bowl me.
Thanks, why I love
Super Bowl me. If only E was a Roman numeral, we could come up with an actual number.
Super Bowl.
By the way, the fact that I took those letters, translated into Roman numerals in my head, where I'm so dreadful at math, I'm more verbal, honestly. The math part of the SAT was it kept me up at nights.
It was terrible.
At any rate, if you're on hold, stay on hold is basically what I'm saying. NBCSN audience is about to rejoin us in mere seconds, and then we will welcome in the great Rachel Nichols. In just a matter of seconds. All right, great chat just moments ago with Jeff Perlman about Three Ring Circus. I mentioned at the top of the show that I needed to verify this fact. And who better to help me verify this fact than the host of The Jump on ESPN, reporting from the NBA bubble where the Lakers just dismantled the now banged up Heat in Game 1. The host of ESPN's The Jump, and again, reporting from the NBA Finals, Rachel Nichols. How are you, Rachel?
Hello, my friend. How are you?
I am well. Is there a rule where one win can equal four and wrap up an NBA Finals? Is there such a thing? I don't know.
I just want you to describe the last meal you had for me that was not served in a cardboard and plastic box so I can move vicariously through
okay,
you.
Okay, very good. Right okay. What would I have?
What did you have yesterday?
What I have yesterday? Oh, I had Dom's meatballs.
Oh, nice.
You know, I put some broccoli in it, chopped up a little bit of garlic, put it all together in a red sauce. Does that piss you off, Rachel?
That pretty much does it for me. We one of our colleagues, Cassidy Hubbarth, was nice enough to send us some Chicago style pizza down here because pizza in particular, the two things that are very hard to get in the NBA bubble are pizza and sushi. which, you know, I mean, look, we can all live without that in our life for a period of time, but there's only so far I can go without pizza. What? So Cassidy was nice enough to send some Chicago pizza down. We were excited. And then it turned into a, like, four-day odyssey of getting permission for the hotel to heat up a, quote, foreign object in their kitchen.
Uh-huh.
And so it had to be – the pizza had to be sent to a different, less sterile hotel because until the pizza was cooked, it was not considered sterile. Then once it was in the oven, it was sterile, but not where we were. So then it had to get driven back to where we were. And I got to tell you, that whole 30 minutes or less thing does not apply in the bubble.
Okay.
And then we wanted a knife or a pizza cutter to cut the pizza, also not considered sterile. Sorry, you're on your own. So that's kind of our situation here.
Well,
much more importantly, everyone is healthy. I don't want to lose track of that. But I do really like pizza, Rich, so it's tough.
So, Rachel, I understand the conundrum here, that you've been down there and it does keep everyone safe, but you do have to take solace in the fact that there is some sort of pizza reheating protocol that nobody ever really thought of.
No stone left unturned.
My God.
In the bubble.
And plus,
thought of everything.
And then the sushi, I mean, I guess you don't want to make sushi out of whatever tuna's in the man-made lake there by one of those hotels. I don't Dory.
And there's also a sort of tuna sushi Florida sitting outside. Like, if it has to go through, like, six stages, there's a point where you don't want it.
Plus, I guess, wait for it here. I'm not done. Hold on. The Dory roll, right? Isn't that what it would be down there in Disney World? The Dory roll?
That I'm sure that would be, although isn't that mean?
I guess, yeah. You can't have a Dory cut roll. That's terrible for the children. Although every Disney movie, Rachel, the parents die in it anyway.
Trust me. I know that I'm sure Susie's talked about, like especially the mother. Come on.
Yeah. I mean,
like,
honestly, even in Frozen.
Sort of hatred of mothers.
Even in Frozen, they go down with the ship. Like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Like in later Disney movies, they seem to be killing both parents, which I guess has like some solace, but, you know, I don't know.
Rachel Nichols here on The Rich Eisen Show. Okay, so...
Where were we again? The NBA Finals?
I guess that's what we call a reset. What to make of what can you tell us about the injured Heat players? Because if there's no Dragic, there's no Adebayo, that would be essentially a wrap, one would assume. What are you hearing about?
I think so. So look, we don't have an update yet. The Heat haven't come to speak at media availability yet. You know, I saw Goran limping, back into the locker room after going to get some medical treatment in a different room last night. It didn't look good. Now, that being said, he did try to come out for the second half and play and only got like halfway down the hallway. And a doctor, medical person from the Heat stopped him. And you know, in an admirable way, I think all of these players, they're so dedicated in general. And this Heat team in particular, the mindset is, I don't care, I'm getting back out on the court. But there's a point, the body just won't let you. So the reporting is that Goran has a plantar fasciitis tear. That's normally a six-week injury. I don't know. I don't know how they would get him back up, although it has happened in playoff history. There have been, you know, take a shot and get back out there. It's just sort of, I don't know how effective he would be or if that could cause any further damage because I'm not a doctor. And then with Bam, it's his shoulder. They're calling it a shoulder strain. And it's just important, even in my non-medical training, to always remember that a strain by definition is a slight tear of the muscle. Like, that's what a strain is. Now, tear sounds traumatic, which is why they call it a strain, but it is like a little bit of a tear of the muscle. So I just don't know how much little that is and what that means for him playing or not.
Now, obviously, we need these guys healthy. We meaning, you know, everyone who is rooting for a competitive
series, right?
Of
I mean,
course.
Even if you're a Laker fan, well, I don't know. Maybe if you're a Laker fan, you want them to win in four and that's it. But like, I just think, look, it's the NBA Finals. The games in the bubble have been so good. Like, the basketball has been so good. And Lakers was a tantalizing matchup, and you'd like to see them actually match up no matter who wins.
And also, you know, I was hoping, and again, moment, and I know through your years of covering Jimmy Butler, if I'm not mistaken, Rachel, after he blowed up the practice in Minnesota.
I don't know what you're talking about, Rich Eisen.
You got an exclusive interview with him almost 35 minutes later. So this is his moment, right? This is what he's been building towards forever. Is this?
Yeah,
moment.
I mean, it's a
Rachel.
Little bit of a referendum too on how he operates and the way, you know, that he had coaches or front office people in several cities who felt like, oh, you know, he's bad for team chemistry or he's bad for coaches or he's bad in the locker room. And really, win or lose in the finals, I think it's been kind of proven that with Jimmy, it's more a matter of fit. And the way that he and the Heat have been saying is like, hey, we're not for everyone. And I think that that's always an important thing to remember in sports, that there's, you know, I kind of always say 10%, 10%, like 10% of the players could play anywhere and be amazing. And 10% of players could play anywhere and probably be pretty terrible and always be almost about to get cut. But those 80% in the middle, whatever sport you're talking about, fit is so important. What are the other pieces around that player? How do they fit in with the coach and the system and the front office and the way the cycle of the team in that moment and all of that stuff? And Jimmy is a prime example of fit. And as he and the Heat have pointed out, you know, he says, I'm not for everyone, but I'm for this team. And that's certainly true. And the Miami Heat as an organization aren't for everyone. You know, Dion Waiters is in this series with the Lakers. Didn't turn out that the Heat were for him. But when there is a match, it's pretty cool to watch. And we have seen, win or lose, we have seen that with Jimmy Butler and the Heat.
Rachel Nichols, host of ESPN's The Jump and reporting from the NBA Finals in the bubble right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Not to pry and not to tell you how to, you know, your show should do its business.
You got my pizza?
No. That's all good. I don't want to tell you the last time I had pizza. You'd be very upset.
I'm sure I would.
So I'm assuming the Jump on its rundown in between games one and two of this finals might have Kyrie's latest statement on how he feels comfortable deferring to a teammate he's yet to play with, except in an All-Star game. And how, quote, this is the first time in my career I can look down and be like, that MF-er can make that shot too. And I'm trying to recall who his past teammates are that he might have had a crunch time moment with.
Yeah.
Does this, is this on your rundown, Rachel, with LeBron and the bubble there?
We do have some kind of, I mean, by the way, it's not just the Kyrie comment about that. I assume it's from the same podcast. That there was a quote I saw where it says, Kyrie said, I don't really see us having a head coach. KD could be a head coach. I could be a head coach someday. Jacques Vaughn could be a head coach, could do it one day. It's a collaborative effort.
Oh, boy.
Now, he also, in that same podcast, praised Steve Nash pretty heavily. So I do think that I will say this. I think with Kyrie in particular, you know, by the way, sorry, that last quote about Jacques Vaughn is attributed to KD, not Kyrie. But with Kyrie in particular, you really do have to take the whole. That if you take one or two things he says, I'm not saying he shouldn't be responsible for everything
right.
he says, because he said it. He's an adult, and he's certainly been in this league a long time now. He knows how this works. But I will say that often when you read a pull-out quote from something, if you then kind of listen to the whole thing, there is more context. So this did just cross my radar, but I had a very important radio show to come to.
Thank
so
you.
I have not done the entire listening of the entire podcast yet. I believe it was just released this morning. And so we'll see as we listen, as we get toward the Jump. We will certainly be hitting it, and exactly what and how we'll find out on national television this afternoon.
I look forward to you chopping
spicy,
that up.
Rich. It's spicy.
No, it's going to be great. Now, look, Rachel, if you can, I don't have the direct line to Kyrie that I'm sure you do. Okay. So I did. There's just two cents I want to offer here, being from Staten Island, New York, born and raised in Staten Island, New York. And I know Kyrie knows the area very well because I heard him talk about how he always wanted to be a net from his New Jersey net love days. That I honestly, he and the next person I meet will talk about that, I guess. So all he's got to do in this market, with the Knicks being as down as they are, all he's got to do is just show up and play basketball and not say stuff like this. That's it. And win. And everyone will flock to Brooklyn that the hot mess is the owner in New York. Let him be the hot mess. Don't.
Yes.
What are we doing?
I mean,
Rachel, essentially.
The Kyrie Irving experience, Rich. Life is better with more color in it.
I agree.
You know, the NBA, Rob Perez, who goes under the Twitter handle Worldwide Watch,
yes.
who's very popular on NBA Twitter,
yes.
has a great sort of recurring picture he throws up where it's like a workplace sign. And, you know, it's like 0 days without unnecessary drama. And like you're supposed to write in how many days, like 0 days without a workplace accident. And it's always 0 days without unnecessary drama. And like, that's the NBA, man. I wouldn't have it any other way.
Okay. Oh, man. Who's the most difficult one on your set to corral? I've done this for a living with a bunch of very prideful NFL players. You've got some been there, done that, high personality individuals. What about for you, Rachel? Let's be honest here.
Well, I mean, again, you can draw from the comments I just made about Kyrie and the NBA that I like a little, like, unstable drama.
Me too.
Right?
I've got Michael Irvin. Michael Irvin spoke at my daughter's baby naming, Rachel. He was at my wedding. Susie invited him. He showed up in an electric blue tuxedo. I love the guy, but he's a handful. So
for me, I actually seek those players out to be on the job because those are some of the players I love covering the most. And I do think it's a sport, right? Like, God knows there's a lot more serious things going on in the world right now. Like, let's not take our basketball or football or anything else so seriously. So, you know, whether it's on my show, it's Kendrick Perkins or Richard Jefferson, they're both dead on and great. If you say, we got to talk about this, they will absolutely do it.
Right.
But the one catch is if there's something they do want to talk about, and a producer, and this is Richard in particular, because he's such a, like, troll when it comes to this kind of stuff, and
yes,
he has a great sense of humor. If the producer says, oh, well, let's not talk about that because it'll be too much of a diversion, you know, we go take that sideways, we won't have time for the next topic, that is pretty much like a bright green light to Richard that what he needs to do is talk about that thing and throw the segment off timing-wise. And by the way, I want to say this again. I said it at the beginning. I'm going to say it again.
Yes.
Like, total pro. Like, do not let Kyrie take my stuff out.
Sure, no.
Richard Jefferson is a total pro. He is the person I am down here with in the bubble because he is just the most, like he's great, and he's been great in this environment. But because he is a mischief streak, he will definitely employ it. And the producers know that waving that red, you know, cape in front of him of saying, you know, actually, this will throw the segment off. That's just trouble.
So were you there? That's trouble. You next to him when he hit send on Giannis being a Pippin? Were you there for that one? Rachel?
I was not. That was a phone call. I was like, wait, what are you
saying? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Sometimes it happens, you know. But again, here's the thing, and you know this,
yes,
you know, so much in your chair. Mm-hmm. The worst thing is having a former player who is afraid to say anything. I don't want people manufacturing TV. Like, that's crappy, and everybody knows it. You can see right through it. But the players who feel, and I respect this, but they're just maybe not cut out for television, who feel like it's disloyal in some way to talk honestly about guys they know or teams that they have left behind or, hey, it's a league, it's a code or whatever. That's great, but then you probably shouldn't be on TV, right? So I do really enjoy when it's genuine. I don't want the manufactured stuff, but when it's genuine, I want those guys to speak their mind and sometimes take things off the rails and like if you're supposed to be doing a segment about the NBA Finals, insist on talking about pizza.
That's
like
right. I guess that's how we're going to go. That's how we're going to finish up full circle, Rachel. I feel like this could be a short series. I'm just getting the sense this could be a short series. So if you want us to send you something to eat, some food, I think we got to get it in now based on the strict protocols that I had no idea that existed on pizza cutters, which, by the way, there's probably 90 of them in one spot that's supposed to look like Italy and Epcot, literally probably like 2 miles from here. So what do you need? What do you want? Like, what do you want?
No. I don't, like, again, something could get hung up here. You know, every package that comes in has to get sprayed down in bleach and all of that stuff. I just, when I get back to L.A., Susie, we need to have, like, a group, like, really good Italian meal so that I can wash the cardboard box food out of my system.
All right, Rachel. That's a done deal. thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Have a good rest of the stay in the bubble. I hope it's a short series for you so you can get home. But I know that you're enjoying all the NBA action, so appreciate the call.
Absolutely. I'll talk to you guys soon.
You got it. That's Rachel Nichols. And Rachel, what it appears to be two underscores in between Rachel and Nichols. It's a very long
line.
Two underscores, right?
Yeah.
At Rachel, _Nichols on Twitter and Instagram. Wow, that's serious business.
Oh, yeah.
Keeping for the pizza?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're not messing around. I don't blame them.
You can't.
Can't blame them.
Imagine if Mike had that type of protocol when he got his pizza in Utah, we might not have had the flu /
could have had that.
Okay.
Can I make another reveal?
Yes.
Go, do it, Rich.
Or should I say after the break? Do I do an after the break?
After the break.
After the break.
And we have another guest, a big news-making National Football League guest for hour number three that I'm excited about. Because he has been a busy bee the last 3 weeks. that announcement and your phone calls. Well, everybody patiently waiting when we return on the Rich Eisen Show. Old Spice now has Below Deck, a new line of products for your, well, below deck area. New Below Deck Powder Spray helps you feel drier and cleaner down below. New Below Deck Anti-Chafe Stick helps prevent inner thigh chafing. Nobody wants that. Available in the family planning aisle at Walmart or online at walmart.com/oldspicebelowdeck. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com, G-E-I-C-O.com. A great tweet by my buddy Mike Garofolo of NFL Media Group. I'll read that out in a second. Oh, my word. So, 844-204-RICH, we'll take your phone calls. Where do we stand on our poll question so far at Rich Eisen Show, Chris?
Which city most likely to win two championships this year? Two.
Tampa's already won
Tampa's got one. Lakers are about to have one. Los Angeles is about to have one.
Dodgers are the one seed in the National League. Tampa and Rays are number one seed in the American League. And
Tampa also has the Bucks.
Then you got the Tampa Bay lurking. Buccaneers. The Tampa Bay Gronkaneers.
Rams are on the fringe here, but right now 68% Los Angeles.
Don't sleep on the Rays, man. As a Yankee fan who watched 8 out of 10 games go Tampa's way, and they bark in the Yankee dugout too. They bark right at the Yankees. I don't want a piece of them.
Yeah. Nope.
At all. Not at all. Back on our quadcast, and again, our friends and watch us and take us in on NBCSN, please get the Peacock app because that's the only way you're going to start being able to see us starting on Monday. We are exclusive to the Peacock app. So it's free. It's simple to get. Starting later after the show today, I'm recording a video, right? Is that what we're doing?
Absolutely.
We're setting it up. And in terms of recording a video, that means you hold the camera?
No, we're going to use the studio.
We're going to use the studio camera. Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's going to look amazing.
Come on. You think this is some low budget
bells and whistles
going here, Rich?
Well,
come on,
God,
man.
Need my audio.
My God, I'm going to do so I'm going to have to do all my own stunts.
We have an Emmy winner, you know, doing audio. We got you.
I have to do all my own stunts. I'm like the Tom Cruise of this situation.
We're not jabronis here, bro.
It's going to be amazing. So we're going to shoot a video. I'm going to hang from a helicopter and tell you how to download Peacock.
Honestly,
which is much easier than hanging from a helicopter.
And Brockman's going to drive the helicopter.
Please, I really hope you do that.
He's going to cap the helicopter.
Have I hyped it enough? Okay. So, all right. Do we want to get to the my story?
Do your story.
Okay. To tell you who's the next guest. Okay. Let's get to the guest.
Guest first.
He's been doing a lot of work. He's been a busy bee, and he's a friend of the program. We've been asking him to come on, and he's kind enough to say yes, even though there have been so many injuries on his roster. I have to ask him if he considered you getting me suited up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Or him suiting up?
Yeah, him suiting up.
He's asking me. I think.
I mean, with all due respect to you, I think Johnson a little more.
John Lynch, the general manager of the San Francisco 49ers. I mean, you want to talk about a team that has been bitten by the injury bug, and they spent an entire week in West Virginia going back and forth to a spot where they thought the turf was a bit hanky, and they're still 2-1. Taking on a Philadelphia Eagles team that is essentially at the wide receiver position right now saying, hold my beer. This is amazing. Mike Garofolo, who covers the NFL for the NFL Network, and he focuses quite a bit on that Philadelphia Eagles team on NFL Game Day morning. There's only one Eagles receiver on the 53-man roster practicing today. They're so banged up at the position. Only one. Mike Garofolo retweeted that information and said, someday they will implode Lincoln Financial Field. Out of the smoke and rubble will walk Greg Ward. That is a funny tweet. Although letting your smile be your umbrella. So Wentz is needing to get his you-know-what together. Dallas Goedert is out, and there's only one healthy receiver practicing today. That's a very fitting photograph that Don Bowie's putting up on the screen right there of Wentz holding the back of his helmet. Like he just threw an interception, which is perhaps what this photograph is from, or a fourth down conversion that does not go his way. And that's the Sunday night game on NBC. Big game. Because it does seem that the Niners are getting healthier. John Lynch is going to join us exactly 1.5 hour from now, 15 minutes past the hour of our third hour. Stop me if you've heard this one. The Braves and Reds are scoreless through 4.5, bottom five right now. Oof. Is this series going to end where the Braves score just 2 runs and win? Because that could happen.
Would that be
the least Braves thing to happen?
Yeah, because usually they fall way behind and then come back in the late innings.
Right? Oh, my word. Let's take a phone call here. Who's been holding on the longest? Nathan here in L.A. has been holding on the longest. What's up, Nathan? How you been?
Hey, Rich. Good to talk to you again.
Right back at you.
I appreciated that you offered me a chance to give a thought on the Falcons a couple days ago.
That's right.
I didn't have a chance.
Finish your thought.
There was something that struck me when I was looking at them in the standings that led to a thought. And it's one of those stats that kind of just makes you shake your head when you look at it. Atlanta Falcons have scored 90 points this season, which is fourth best in the league. Now, every other team around them obviously is either undefeated or winning games. Here they are, 3-0, 0-3.
Yeah.
Because, of course, the points against number is 108, which is a full touchdown worse than anybody else in the league.
Yes, sir.
Now,
so what's your thought then?
Dan Quinn, my thought is that Dan, I'm not here to save Dan Quinn's job. He's going to probably lose it for this. But it's not Dan Quinn's job, at least not primarily, to put the players on the defensive side of the ball that he's asked to work with. Nor is it exclusively his responsibility to coach and or call plays for that particular defense. So I'm not here to save him. I'm only saying there's more to this than just, Dan Quinn.
Nathan. It's just it's one big bowl of awful soup. And thank you for the call. And I appreciate you calling back to finish your thought. I mean, because the Falcons do finish up the week on national television at Green Bay, which is exactly the type of game that they would win.
Right.
Based on the way things have gone.
Absolutely.
When you think they've got no shot, they go on the road and win against a hot team.
Yep.
That they will put up a bunch of points on Green Bay and then somehow put the bang thing on Aaron Rodgers. I just want, again, I'll say it again. It's like the Bermuda Triangle of the NFL over the last 5 years. And we've going to have to find the answer. We're going to get an answer one day. If the New York Times got Trump's taxes, we will find out what is up with Todd Gurley's knee. At some point.
Yes.
I don't know. Because he'll look great, score a touchdown, 14 runs, and then when it comes down to it, when exactly the moment you need him, and let's get this ball in the hands of the Todd father, TG3, and let him take us home because he's a beast at running back. They put the ball in Matt Ryan's hands without Julio Jones and let him wing it all over the place. And when he goes 3 and out because he misses wildly, let's do it again the next time we get the ball back. Right? We'll see. Julio is walking through right now. I guess he's doing walkthroughs. I don't know. Honestly. But it's just the defense can't stop anybody when they have to. And the offense can't put up any points when they need to. And they got a guy in Todd Gurley that should wrap it up. But he hasn't been that wrap it up guy for like 2 years. And when he does perform well, then you're like, why is he on that stationary bike? It's weird. There's no other way to put it.
It's weird.
Let's go to Al in Pennsylvania. What's up, Al?
Hello, Rich. Thank you for taking my call.
What's going on?
Appreciate it. I just want to touch on something that you were talking about yesterday.
Okay.
I'm the one that's called you a couple times and told you I've been a Raider fan for, since back in the 1960s.
Yes.
And when you were talking about yesterday, the Raiders had some kind of a gathering and nobody was wearing face masks and stuff except for Darren Waller, I guess. I don't know what the occasion was.
It was a fundraiser for Darren Waller's charity. Darren Waller's story, in case people don't know it or didn't see it on Hard Knocks, is one of the most inspirational stories. The fact that he is who he is now and he's getting paid for what he's doing now is truly one of the best stories the NFL can tell. And his charity is in support of what he's been trying to overcome successfully now.
Okay.
And it is absolutely well-intentioned, but from the video that I saw, it was exactly the type of thing you don't want your team doing during COVID-19. It boggled the mind when I saw it.
What I want to bring up is the fact that when I heard about this and everything, you know, I've been under this impression for a number of years now, and I'm getting the impression that the Raiders just don't care about anything anymore.
I don't know about that.
They just want to do what they want to do instead of following the proper protocol, especially in a situation like this.
No, I appreciate it. You're from the state of Pennsylvania, so is Mayock. I would absolutely disagree.
Yeah.
No, and Mike.
Well,
is...
I'm a New Yorker though.
Okay.
Originally.
Okay.
I lived in New York most of my life, and that's where I learned to bus rail, upstate New York, not too far from Syracuse.
No, and I appreciate the call, Al. Thank you. And you know, the Raiders are apologizing, and it just I don't know how it happens. When you've got the team leader that Derek Carr is and Jason Witten, man of the year, is, and I'm sure they want to support their teammates' great cause. But if they need a Zoom link for it, I'll provide it. I'll provide it. I'm that type of guy.
You're a giver.
You know what I am. So the conversation that Rachel Nichols just had, she told us about somebody sent Chicago-style pizza.
Cassidy Hubbard, yes.
Okay.
Yes. From Chicago.
Okay, very good. Look, Chicago-style pizza is great.
Fantastic.
Right? I mean,
yep.
Deep dish, great. Mm. Giordano's, Gino's East, right?
Luminati's.
Lou Malnati's, right? All of it. It's great. Oof. But I'm a New York guy.
Yeah.
New York pizza, there's nothing.
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 Ooh.
Like it. I'm not trying to start a New York versus Chicago pizza guy. Deep dish is amazing. It also will make you just not want to get up out of bed.
Yeah.
Like one slice
Move.
Of it will just,
yeah.
It's a day. It's like doing a shot of tequila
yeah.
for me. It just
mm-hmm.
ends the day. It's over. And so, but New York pizza, I can have a couple of slices and think maybe that third.
Yep.
And I'm from Staten Island, New York, you know, home of Danino's Pizza, by the way, which I think was, in fact, spotlighted in the King of Staten Island. The great Judd Apatow, Pete Davidson fair that people should check out. Long story short, though, I'm a diehard New York pizza guy. And how Rachel talked about how she really wanted this pizza. She missed it. She needed it. She went through all the crazy-ass protocols to get it. And she enjoyed it. I want to share.
Let's go,
I want to
Rich.
Share. I want to go
do.
Back. I want to go back in time to the University of Michigan. Ann Arbor campus, I think the year would have to have been 1987. Yeah. Year two on that campus. I missed New York pizza in the worst way. In the worst way. One of my friends was eating it. I was on the phone with him, and he's like, I'll send you some. Great.
Huh.
He sent it to me regular U.S. mail.
Oh.
Wrapped.
Just threw a pizza.
Threw a slice of pizza in the United States mail. Wrapped in a piece of bubble wrap.
What?
And sent it in a yellow bubble manila envelope.
Yeah, envelope. Oh,
I opened it up. I inspected it. I cooked it and I ate it. Not proud of it, even though I might seem proud of it right now. Not proud of
I mean,
it.
You seem kind
How
of proud.
How many days did it get from
I
that's
mean,
at least 3 days.
No.
At least.
At least. Mike, it takes 5 to 6 to go cross country.
This is 1980, and this is before they dismantled all the equipment
say,
in Michigan.
They were,
but no, I mean it was first class mail. I mean, like he put, but it still was like 3-4 days. I mean, and I remember, like you know, the grease did bleed through the envelope. Opened it up.
If we could stop.
I ate it. Sometimes you're just desperate.
You just want a slice of pizza, bro.
I mean.
So her desperation was in the bubble. Mine was bubble wrapped. And I still ate it.
Yeah, you did.
I mean,
there were no protocols.
No.
Didn't have to get wiped
just,
down.
I think I nuked it too, which is terrible.
Oh,
you're New York guy.
What am I going to put in a pan? Now I know how to read pizza. The oregano on the pan. That's one of our favorite videos we ever did in the New York in the New York studio.
Your reheat method is top notch.
Amazing.
That's Jerry Greenberg, the reheat method. The king of the fishmonger of Santa Monica. As I like to refer him. He's also the king of sugarfish, which many people have across the country. But anyway, the reason why I bring it up is not only because I want free sugarfish, but is that this is well before that you just put oregano in the bottom of a pan and then cover it up, and then it just reheats pizza to crispy perfection.
Amazing.
I nuked it, and I ate it.
Wow. I mean, Rich.
And that, for some reason, is my way of saying John Lynch is calling in hour number three. Chris Brockman's news update. The Braves have scored a run. They got the requisite one run, bro. Hey. Things are looking up.
Welcome to the MIP.
Yeah.
The Michael Irvin Podcast.
You knew this was coming.
Guess who?
You start this thing off. Join me every week for the Michael Irvin Podcast. We'll give you the full MIP experience. I'm talking everything from football to fashion. I will be chopping it up with playmakers, headline makers, and I am throwing haymakers. I'm the MVP of the MIP. Don't miss it.
Download new episodes of the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast, every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.